Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus, the more I find you, the more I find you, the more I love you.
Sing that again.
The more I seek you,
yes, Jesus,
the more I find you, and the more I find you.
How could I not love you, Jesus?
The more.
voice of the one I love. He's calling my name. Yeah, I hear his voice. It's the voice of the one I love. He's calling my name. He knows your name. He knows where you're at right now. I hear the voice. It's the voice of the one I love. He's calling my name. What he's saying. Come up higher. Hear the angels sing. Come on, come on. Come up higher, my beloved.
Everyone that listens to our show, and we understand that many of you listen to our show from the archive. You may not know it, but you can download any of our shows for free to any smart device. Tonight we plan to have a special guest speaker on the show, and this did not work out, and we're going to bring you a live church service from the Sanctuary of Nolensville with our pastor, Pastor Lee Stevens. All month we've been speaking on the different relationships that we should all be aware of in trying to live for God. We pray that you enjoyed the service and look forward to your comments and questions at the end of the show. We must be having some technical difficulties. Let's just give it a minute. For whatever reason, I'm guessing that's not going to work, so we'll skip to the next clip. Well, we might need to offer up some prayer tonight to get this thing on the road. Well, we're hoping you all have had a good week and a very blessed one. While Bill has been really, really tired, and we're really blessed that he has the commitment that he has for this. While Bill, what's going on?
Well, looks like I messed up.
Well, it's, none of it's playing.
You might have turned the volumes up on them. That's what I was telling you, because I've recorded them low. So you might want to go back and try that.
No. I did.
No.
None of them are working. I'm down to 5.
Okay. Well, I guess it's just not going to work. As I told you guys a couple weeks ago, my computer fried, and so... And we had set up for, like Sarla said, a guest speaker. The only reason we mentioned that was because people read the blog about what the next show is going to be about. And so, but it just, it didn't work out for them to be able to do the show tonight. And so I drove to Atlanta, Georgia, and back on, I don't know, how much sleep did I get yesterday? I don't even remember. It wasn't very much.
An hour and a half.
An hour and a half. And then
yes.
I stopped and got a computer today that's got different programs on it, just trying to get it, to record the service. So I can't say what happened. Usually I'll have time to test behind the recording, but I was so tired when I got home today. But like Starla said, we try to be committed, you know, to put a show out each and every week, even when, you know, we have things come up in our personal lives and things with family, and we try to keep this thing running. So I'm so sorry that this didn't work. And Kastarna can tell you I spent a lot of time on it today. So it just, sometimes things are what they are. And it's just, you have to grin and bear it. And we talk all the time about being thankful. It's easy to be thankful when things are going good, but it's hard to be thankful when things are going bad. And who knows what the reason is. Maybe somebody's got something they're going to call in and share, a testimony or something, or a scripture that's in their heart or in their mind, or, you know, you just don't know. But that's one of the great things about serving a God who knows everything and promises that he's going to watch over us and nothing's going to harm us that, you know, could hinder us from making it to heaven. A lot of times we try to take that to where no weapon formed against us will prosper, to think that, you know, nothing bad is going to happen. But anyone that's lived for Jesus very long understands that that's not what that means. You can read through the New Testament and see that that's not what it means. You can read Fox's Book of Martyrs and see that that's not what that means. It's all for his glory, but he takes care of us that he won't put anything more on us than what we can bear. And so, you know, as much as I was stressed when I heard the static coming out and nothing else, like, oh, man, what have I done? And, you know, I just know that, you know, it'll all work out. You know, we don't have anything to play. We don't have anything to play. You know, Charlotte's got a bunch of songs and sound effects, and we could throw some things in there. But I just want to encourage you, if you have something that you want to share, just to come on and bring it to the table tonight. And, you know, it's so I'll turn it back over to you. I'm about to get into a dead spot, so I don't know if you'll even be able to hear me here in just a second.
Well, Blog Talk Mom, do you have anything you want to share with us tonight? This would be a good night for that.
Oh, wow. This is wonderful. I believe that God's up to something. Do you?
Oh, amen.
This
he
was
worked for 4 hours today on this. 4 hours of time that he should have been sleeping. So I know that he is probably really frustrated.
Well, if there's any continuity to what has happened on the program and what seems to be going on for each of us, I today had, first of all, I want to thank what Bill was saying about the hours that are spent and what you joined him in mentioning, because I am so very thankful that our God doesn't judge things according to how we do. Otherwise, we would at this very moment be very discouraged. But we do know, and we do trust Him. For my additional testimony this morning, I have an annual checkup that I do with the cardiologist. And so I went, and they said, well, since you're here, we'll just go ahead and let you do your other tests in, on another floor. You know, go in, and it's real complicated. Save me a trip. So I agreed, and I went in, and they began to do this test, and it was very painful, and it didn't remind me of anything that anyone had ever done before when I went in for that test. And the pain got so excruciating that I just was almost having an anxiety attack. And then she was obviously having a very bad day herself. There had been a wreck on the interstate. Everybody got to work an hour late because of a big pileup with the cars. And so they were not, you know, everybody seemed to be having their own crisis. And so then she comes in, and she's disturbed because she's giving me the wrong test. And so then she begins to do the correct thing that she was supposed to do, very roughly, very gruffly. And so by the time I leave, I'm really not feeling well. I wanted to cry. I couldn't understand. I was trying to make sense out of it. And I thought, well, I always treat myself that once a year to this really nice restaurant. And I thought, well, I'll go in there and I'll treat myself. And I went in, I couldn't stay. I was so frustrated, and I had to just get out. And so I started to go another place because it was fasting. I was to fast when I went in to get the test. I know I'm taking a little time here, but I want to get this picture in your mind, share it with you, because I was hungry. I was not feeling well, the whole thing. And I thought, well, you know what, I'm just going to treat myself to this one particular place that I don't go because it's really not the healthiest in the world. And I go in, and I'm the only person there, and it's a lady, and I knew I looked somber. I said, I don't feel real well. I went to the doctor and had a test, and I'm a little bit nervous. So she opens up, and she begins to talk, and she sits down at the table across from me on another table, and she says, I don't have any faith in God. I lost my faith. I lost my faith in God. And I just looked at her, and because of my pain and my frustration, I kept my mouth shut, which is very unusual. I didn't offer a lot of petty advice. I didn't come up with a lot of platitudes and scriptures or anything. Not that those are wrong. And she continued to tell me one of the saddest stories, I believe, that I've heard in a long time. And she shared that with me, and I could tell, I could feel that God had put me there because she really needed. No one else was there. No one else was working in the back. There was no one but just she and I. And I believe with all my heart that God loved her enough, even though she says she's lost her faith, to let her express this, that grief and pain that she was feeling. I could feel the Lord doing a work, not anything I did, just the fact that I was there. And there's sometimes that our brokenness and our struggle and our apprehension is the greatest witness that we have. It's not so much our mouth, you know, that's good too. I'm not trying to compare the two, but it meant a lot to me to know that God somehow took all of that and put it together. Then I go to physical therapy. I'm late because of all this other stuff. I'm late. And this other lady is early. I never had seen met her before at all. And it was the greatest connection. She's a teacher at and a nurse in one of the schools here in town, and we just it was a God thing. The people there knew it was. When they heard us talking, they knew they said, and she was you're early and you're late, and you know, they were all excited about the whole thing. So tonight, if there's somebody particularly listening and you're in a place in your walk in life or with God and you want to call and share and or just talk or just speak, we would love to hear your voice. We would love to hear anything that you would have to say. You are so important. During the times of our hurt and our pain, we feel like we've been abandoned, sort of, or we're just sort of disconnected, but we're never abandoned. He never abandons us, and he will work all things for our good. He will. He desires to. God desires to do this. And if this woman today expressed the loss and the pain and the confusion, I just know that God just is going to work a great thing in her life, and so that's my one point that I wanted to say. There is also a scripture that Wild Bill or someone might want to comment about, the prayer of Jabez. A few years ago, it was extremely popular, the book, and they had workbooks out. They used it a lot on programs, preachers did. But his name, when his mother named him, it meant that he was born and caught, like, from pain, from sorrow. And he lived with that. And it worked into one of the most beautiful prayers, the prayer of Jabez, one that we can all relate to, and we can even relate to this very day as a church, as an individual, as a child, a parent, as a country. And I just wanted to share that, Sister Starlight. I appreciate you very much.
Well, I do so appreciate you. And your story, really. God is good all the time. I want to share a testimony, if I can. My next-door neighbor, they'd been in church probably. They started going to church. Both Bill and I worked with both of them. And finally, you know, they did start coming. And anyway, they've been a real blessing to both of us. And they went with their family to Panama City. And they happened to go to a beach with a riptide. And they've got two children that were with them. They've got five children, but two of them, the younger children, were with them. One I'm going to say is 10, and the other one is 13. And they were swimming, and they got caught in that riptide. And before she knew it, well, she didn't even know it. They got pulled out. I mean, probably a good half a mile. And her daughter-in-law was standing beside of her, and she could hear her screaming, hear one of the children screaming. They were both boys, for help. And I just can't even imagine what that would be like for your children. Be screaming for your help, and she couldn't swim. So they were at somebody else's mercy, and finally a friend of theirs did go out there and was able to get to them. And she was under so much stress, they just automatically started praying. And God really, there were five people out there, and they all got rescued. And
God is merciful.
He is so merciful. But she was under so much stress that she passed out after it. And she has no recall of 2 hours that took place after it. But anyway, I can't imagine what I would do in that situation. It's your child, and you know, our mothering, nurturing instinct is to help our children, and I just can't even imagine. But God is merciful, and He had His hand on them, and man, what a blessing, what a testimony that she has.
Amen.
Well, if anybody would like to share their testimony or have a comment or a question, this would be a good time. Just press 1 on your phone, and we'll identify you by the last 4 digits of your phone number. Well, Blog Talk Mom, do you have something else you'd like to share with us?
There was, as you were sharing the story about the children, we have a couple in our church. They're in their 60s. And their son drowned. They were notified that he had drowned. And it was a horrible, horrible experience. All the details connected to it, both of them went into a season of discouragement. They both lived for the Lord, but there was just, it separated them and their grief. It separated them from each other, and it was just a very grievous time for them. And he shares how he was, he'd been praying, and he had a time that he walked. He would go to the certain area, and he would walk and pray. And he said it was like one day, it was just like God just, he felt like a hand on his shoulder. And he turned, and it wasn't a scary thing. It was a comforting feeling. And there was nothing there, but he was aware that it was the hand of God that was there to comfort him and to be with him. And then later, this gentleman was praying, and that was, I think I shared it before, that, and I share it a lot of times when I'm teaching, that he saw a vision. He went into a vision, and he said that he was at the foot of the cross. And as he was there, he was just looking at the base and the blood, and as he started, his eyes began to go up towards the Lord, and he saw his feet, he saw the spikes, with it would be like a revelation of what Jesus went through. And he went on and he saw the hands and the swelling, and it was just very graphic what he saw in the suffering of Jesus. And as it went up to his face, the face of Jesus, he was amazed that as he looked into his face, that Jesus was, his eyes were like looking directly into his, with more love and compassion and healing. He said there's no way to describe it, the intimacy that he felt between him and the Lord Jesus Christ. And I have found in my life, and I know others, like the Bible says, and Brother Lee Stone King one time, you and Wabi had him speaking on the broadcast, and he brought out the scripture where Jesus is the lily of the valley. He is the lily of our valley. We're going to have valleys. We're all going to have them. But in that place, that lowest place, He restores our soul. and becomes more real to us than at any other time. It is a supernatural, awesome relationship and experience that we have with the Creator God. I had read this past week about how at one time Israel had become so against the Israel of the Word of God that it had become so against the laws of God and had transgressed that they took as a sacrifice as part of, you know, the lamb that was slain. They took a little suckling lamb. And I thought of that, the innocence and the purity of a little lamb. But that's how pure Jesus, I mean, that's more, that's just a symbol of how pure he is and was for our sin. He took our sin. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes were healed. Christianity is so much more than Christians portray it to be. Some of the greatest leaders have said, well, we can believe in Christ, but we have a hard time with Christians. And today it seemed like all of the things that happened, just, I don't know, it was very good for me. It was very, and it will continue to be because I'm going to let it be. And not a platitude, not just a, you know, I'm more, Joy Bells, I don't know if she's listening tonight. She has helped me, I believe, more than any human being. Wild Bill's sister, my daughter, and your sister-in-law, but with helping me to see that things, when you go through them, if you will let them, they will be your dearest blessings. They will work for you greater and richer than any other thing that comes our way. And I agree. And the Bible naturally goes along with it. So I don't want to talk too much, but I do feel the presence of God very strongly tonight. Has anyone called?
Yes. Well, we have several callers, and nobody is brave enough to lift that little hand. Just press one on your... Anyway.
They understand to press one, and you will let them know.
Yes.
I found, I looked up the prayer of Jabez. Would you like for me to read that?
Yeah, that would be good.
In First Chronicles, the fourth chapter, and the Lord's leading me to read the Bible straight through because I have a hard time doing that just straight through because I want to stop for 100 reasons, it seems. But I realized that First and Second Kings is like an outline, and then when we read First and Second Chronicles, there's so many details that are included that give greater insight. And First Chronicles, the fourth chapter, the ninth verse, and Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. And as we read that for ourselves, not to just repeat his prayer, you know, like I'm praying your prayer, but to use that outline to realize that God will answer our prayers when we petition him in these things. To enlarge our coast really spoke to my heart because we all have a purpose in life and a direction that we're going, and we want to do it for the right reasons and reap the right harvest from these things. and not to become, but our own energies, so to speak, but to be anointed and to be full of the love of God and to see, it's amazing to me how something can seem so insignificant. And then when the Lord brings it in light of his love and his mercy and his goodness, then all of a sudden we have a whole different perspective of, and, you know, a different direction on how we should respond to someone or to a situation in our life. And that's beautiful. That's beautiful. God is on our side. He's not out to hurt us. He's out to give us everything we really, really want and not all the things we think we really, really want, all the stuff that we seem to get caught up in. I'm speaking for myself. I don't know about everybody else. Even Jabez's name was significant. I believe our name, I love my name. My last name is Lively. And if anybody knows... And I love that. I have to do something to prove I am. I am Lively.
We have Wild Bill with us.
Wild Bill? I really appreciate what you were sharing there, Blog Talk Mom, because as I was listening to you read the scripture, you know, sometimes when we look back at our life and we look at our achievements, do we really stop and look at what we're counting as our achievements? You know, the thing, you know, with me, you know, I, you know, did very well at the police academy and got in law enforcement and ended up with private security. And we did the security for the presidential campaign and later the transition center. And these were things I all had my hands tied up in to do. And, you know, you just, it's real easy to look at things backwards. When you think about God increasing our coast, there's something to that that I would like to get into more, but it's not about increasing us. And increasing our coast is increasing God through us, letting us be that vessel to do for his glory, not for our glory. I was just thinking how that, you know, you've heard me say 1,000 times how it said I was when the company I worked for filed bankruptcy to shut the doors because it was all for corporate greed. But as I was listening to you talk, I was thinking about all those times I was out there delivering those trucks, and I'd have to pull over on an exit ramp to make sure I had a phone signal, or I would be sitting out in California at dusky dark out in the desert or something on a mountain where I made sure I had a signal, or I might even be in Canada where we were able to get the show started. You know, I wasn't very happy that my world was turned upside down. But then I stop and think about the emails I get and messages I get through Facebook from people in foreign countries wanting to know if I can come and preach for them in places like Africa and South America. And I let them know that I appreciate, you know, them, you know, using the blog page or the blog show to listen to. And I hope it is encouraging to them. But, you know, that there are people that are missionaries that I could, you know, work to try to get them in contact with if they were interested in doing that. And it's, you know, you never know what kind of impact that you're having in someone's life. Because like Starla was talking about our neighbor in that incident out there, I can't tell you how many times that we were aware of the struggles that was going on in that family. And we saw the legal issues and the things that were happening between the husband and the wife, and they're just the dynamics of everything was there. And we'd invite them to church. We'd go to the donut place, and, you know, they had a special where you could get, if you got a dozen donuts, you get another half or another dozen donuts for half price. And so we'd get 2 dozen donuts and take it to them and tell them how we really wish they'd come to church with us, how much we missed them. And, you know, you sort of had that relationship that was built there. And it's one thing you kind of like you talking about where it's not our words, it's not even our actions, it's that we care. It's not that the radio show didn't come out the way I wanted it to today, it's that I strove to be committed to do it. God rewards those things. Not that the radio show was going to work just because of my effort, but that God lets us know that it's in his hands. It may not be simple to where we can just understand it. When we talk about increasing our borders, that's not making it to where my name becomes a household word. But that's what we want to think about so many times. We want to look at how does it affect me. I got a friend that he plays drums. Just he's a fantastic drummer. I mean, he's a really good friend. And him and his wife, that the first song it played there, his wife was actually singing the harmony on that song that was theirs from a church service at their church. And he's been involved in music. He has a desire to be involved in music. And thanks to the last couple of years that I've known him, it's went from transition where I'm watching to where he realizes that he could play in a lot of different venues to just be able to play music. But he's feeling it stirring to understand that this gift is something he can use as a calling to go out and be a witness and to do more work for the kingdom. And like he shared with us, you know, in his frustration the other day, like, Lord, you know, just show me where. You know, tell me what. You know, I'll do it. And there's so many times we get so frustrated because we're looking for the answer, but yet we don't want to realize that maybe we're not quite ready yet. Maybe we've not reached that point of the transition to get what God's got for us. That process of change is, number one, it's never, ever comfortable for any of us. We don't want to look at ourselves as failure. Can you imagine having a name like he did and having that prayer with Jabez? You know, just his name was a sorrowful thing to think about. And yet, in all that, in his humility, he realized where his strength and where his reward would come from was through God. That just amazes me how he overcame an obstacle, because with those cultures, your name said a lot. I mean, can you imagine Abraham? What does Abraham mean, father of many or father of nations? And he didn't even have any children in his old age. You know, he probably felt like he was a joke. You know, what's your name, Abraham? How many kids you got? None. You know, but he held fast and God made a promise to him. And that's what God's wanting us to. He's just wanting us to hold fast and know that the promise is there. And maybe there's going to be some transition. There's going to be some time that we've got to go through things like we were talking about the other day with relationship with ministry. If Joseph had known what that dream meant and what he's going to have to go through, I think he'd probably be saying, Lord, you know, can you let somebody else have this? You know, going to, you know, your own brother's turning against you. He's sitting there talking about killing you, and one brother stands up for you, let's just sell him into slavery, ends up in prison. I mean, it's just, but look what happened. He saved the children of Israel during a time of drought, during a time that everybody else was having to depend on Egypt to take care of them. Here was their little brother that they had so wronged in a position that he could not just only save his family, but yet the rest, can you imagine being separated from your family that long and not even knowing if your dad is still alive? And all of a sudden, here's your brother show up, and then the being able to see everybody again, and then understanding, looking back, that God moved all these things to happen for a purpose. But like I was saying tonight, it's so hard to look at God's purpose in it. You know, like you say, we want to look at, and I failed. Now, all that time I put in, you know, it was my failure. But I love a sermon I heard someone preach one time about an audience of one. When you get up and preach, when you get up and teach, when you're doing a radio show, when you realize that it's all done for an audience of one, because it's his work, with all you were going through today, it was God that came in like a flood and moved in those people's lives. You don't know what kind of seed is going to be planted there. And it's, what's amazing is a seed in someone like our next-door neighbors, there's no telling how many people that they have brought to God just for us bringing a few donuts and caring enough to invite them to church and praying for them and let them know that we care and that the church was important. They'd see us going to church, and we'd have a smile on our face, and we'd ask if we could take their kids. And it wasn't nothing that we did on our own, because I couldn't see the outcome of it. It was just the fact that we cared for them. And that's the thing, when we look back, we got to take stock and say, wow, look what my God has done. Because when I think about this radio show, and I get these emails from people and these messages, it lets me know that there's some people still out there that are hungry. There's some people still out there that are lost. There's some people out there that are hurting, and they're looking for answers. And we know, because of what God's done in our life, that the only real answer they're ever going to find is going to put peace in their life as a relationship with the Almighty God. And I'm so thankful for His mercy, because through my life I've had so many things. I can remember my poor old blog talk mom having to climb way up in a pine tree, talk about mamas coming to get the kids. And I can remember just like it was yesterday, almost drowning in a swimming pool at night where nobody knew I was choked and going down for the last time. And that's so, because I still feel that feeling when I think about that, I can remember I dumped as much as I could jump to break the surface. I was like, this is the last time. And then I didn't see the person that dove in, and it may not have been a pretty dive. I don't know. They may have just splashed in there. But what I felt as I was going down was hands grasping around my sides and lifting me up. And that's what God wants to do for each and every person on this world. He loves us that much that He bore that price for our salvation. And grace is one of those things that I think sometimes we take for granted. The grace of God, that while we couldn't do nothing about it, we're going down for the last time. And He's like, I got you. I've got you. Lean on me. Lean not on your own understanding. I'm here to be what you need me to be. I'll be your burden bearer. I'll be a friend that's closer than a brother. We say these scriptures all the time, but we don't really stop sometimes and think about what they mean. I love where Blog Talk Mom's going with reading through the Bible. I've been doing that myself, looking at things. Let's see what the scripture says, not what we've been taught, not what we've heard people repeat for years and years. Let's go find the scripture and make it real in our life, the word of God that has power and that He's watching over to perform in the lives of His people. That's what it's all about. But anyway, I didn't mean to go on quite that long there, and I'm almost worked, thank the Lord. But I'm going to turn this back over to Starla and Blog Talk Mom there. And anybody, if you got a question, something you'd like to share, you know, just feel free, because you may think nobody's listening, but God's listening. You can share your heart on this show and know that God listens and He cares. And sometimes putting words out speaks of your faith or speaks of your need or speaks, it lets you, God know what you know anyway, but it sinks into your own heart just where you really need God, sometimes just saying it. And, of course, if that was the truth on all things, I'd be the smartest guy there was on the ship of God, because I can talk a blue streak, it's just seen. So, all right, Starla, it's back to you.
Well, that was a mighty word of testimony. Blog Talk Mom.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
Do you want to share? Yes,
well, that
I do
was
too.
The story about being a witness to your neighbor. That's awesome. That is, and then see the fruit begin to grow in their lives and them reach out to others. That's
it
wonderful.
It is really exciting. And they are so sweet. They are just so sweet.
And I think
I mentioned that beautiful concrete drive we got. He was the one that fixed that for us, too. And our steps, it's nice having neighbors that's got skills.
That's good. Oh, I think I'll go find me one, because I don't have a driveway. That would be good. I looked up this little printout I have on, I was going to mention it, if you want me to, on the prayer of Jabez. He brought, when he sought the Lord, it said that he sought the Lord in this printout. It says, for to give him a purpose. It was, he wanted to fulfill his purpose. He wanted God to give him that he would not just obviously be someone that was thought and connected to just bringing sorrow. You know, he wanted to have a greater purpose, and he was seeking God. And it this commentary said that his prayer was not a selfish prayer. It wasn't like, gimme, 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 gimme. You know, that's we do, or I do, maybe no one else does, but, you know, Lord bless me when you get through blessing her, bless me again, and that's humorous in a way, but what would we do without the blessings of God? And like we've talked about all in this program already, sometimes our blessings are not what we even thought they were going to be at all. But it turns out to be, according to Romans 8:28, all things working together for our good. But it said here that it was a very humble prayer. It had a deep sense of personal helplessness. He was very aware that in himself there was nothing. He was helpless. So with a reverence and an awe, he approaches the Almighty God and seeks his help, his power, his protection. And then he's going to walk in that. That's going to be the board, that's going to be his territory, so to speak. During all of these scriptures, that in the midst of all of this, many times you've got the 12 tribes of Israel, and they each have a border. They each have an area that belongs to them. It's part of their inheritance. And so Jabez is wanting to know and to walk in that area that is his. And God has given all of us in the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, we each have our inheritance. And the Holy Ghost is the earnest of our inheritance. What the Bible says, you go buy a house and you give the earnest money. You know, you put that down, and that means that's your house as soon as everything's finished up. And when God gives us the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, that Holy Spirit, that is him. He is God. There's just one God. And he gives that and lets it dwell in us. We become his temple, filled with his Spirit, and that's our earnest money. So that's our earnest of our inheritance. We will live eternally. We will absolutely live eternally, and we'll live with him. Above all, there'll be no pain, no sickness, no discouragement, no hurt, no stress, it's forever the joy that is unspeakable. Oh, that's a lot to think about. That's a lot to focus on, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It is amazing. God is amazing.
I noticed, too, the comparison with the prayer that Jesus, when the disciples asked how to pray, a pattern, it wasn't Jesus praying, it was the pattern that he gave. You see that in there, our Father, which art in heaven, giving God all of the recognition that he is the source of all things. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's the humility that we have as we approach the Lord and we reverence him and adore him, entering his courts with thanksgiving, his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. And then, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. You know, enlarge this border, you know, thy kingdom, not just the kingdoms of this world, but thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in this earth as it is in heaven. It amazes me. And then Jabez wanted protection to be delivered from evil. And this is part of the example prayer that Jesus gave us. That we can pray that. Lead me not into temptation. Deliver me from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. I love how the Bible is in layer after layer after layer of revelation and glory. It is truly a treasure. And it's exactly what we need. I believe it was Brother Stone King one time was preaching about the gifts of the Spirit. And he said, if you see someone and they haven't eaten in 3 or 4 days, they probably don't need a message in tongues. You know, they need you to go get them some donuts like y'all, the situation you did. And so we need to be aware of what is he doing? Or maybe not even aware of it, but be yielded to it. And then he'll make it. He'll connect the dots. So that was if y'all want to, you can send me some donuts. That sounds really good. Some comfort food today. That was good. And I love what Bob Bill was saying about what he was doing it by his job and the many jobs and getting you have to have training and you go to school and you get degrees and all of it, that's wonderful, but we have to put effort and focus in that. But his calling and his anointing is really what we want to be, make sure that we don't put, in fact, some of our greatest leaders in the years past, Brother Keith Green, one of my favorites, he said, don't go to school. He said, there's no need to just all of a sudden get 10 years of schooling if that's not what God's calling you to do. You know, make sure that's the direction. He is a remarkable. His music and ministry speaks. This past week, I was looking up a subject. I was Googling the subject, and I went to this particular website, and I was reading, and I thought, this is exceptional. I thought, this is right on target. And so I just scrolled on down to the bottom to see who did it, and it was Keith Green. It was one of his sermons from years ago. So I thought I'd text Joy, I think, or called her, that he's the best, one of the best. We've got many. We've been blessed with a lot of wonderful leaders. And even in his early death, which seems so unreasonable to someone that powerful, but yet we know that God doesn't make mistakes. Not to say that God did it, but I don't believe that it could have happened. We'll understand. It's that old song. We will understand it better by and by. When the morning comes, we will understand it better. And probably by that time we won't even, it'll be so glorious and won't take, but just in the twinkling of an eye when we're changed from this earthly creation to a heavenly one. That's awesome, isn't it? Just to think about that.
Amen. I saw something on my Facebook page this morning that just spoke volumes to me, that what God has for us is so much better than we could ever imagine. It's a picture of Jesus kneeling in front of a little girl, and the little girl has a teddy bear in her hands, and Jesus is saying, trust me, and holding out his hand, and he seems to be wanting to take the teddy bear from the little girl, and she says, but I love it, God. And behind his back, he has for her a huge teddy bear that he wants to give her, but he wants her to trust him. And how many times do we do that? Do I do that? I want to hang on to something when God has something so much better that he wants to give in its place, and we just can't trust, and we hold back. And it just really spoke to my heart.
That's beautiful. That's a beautiful picture of the illustration. And just as simple as you can get it, is if we will let go.
Yes.
And let God do what he, and trust that he's not. There were a long time ago, I'd heard a story about a man that had fallen off a building. I don't know if I get this correctly, but he was praying that God would help him. You know, he's screaming, help, help, help. All of a sudden he gets caught on some kind of the awning or something. It didn't hurt him. And he looked up at God and said, never mind. You know, like, duh, it was God. You know, we start getting the picture sometimes. There was another part of this little writing handout that says, we do want to be a blessing. And Jabez, that was part of his prayer. And in Matthew, different scriptures where it says that we're the light of the world, So to those in spiritual darkness, we are a blessing. If we're allowing the light of God to shine through us and with us, we are a blessing. And we do know many that are in darkness. In fact, I guess the whole world. There's some scriptures, I don't know if anyone would want to jot them down. It's in Matthew 5, 14 through 16, and the book of Acts 13, verse 47, and the book of Acts chapter 26, verse 18. And I love the scripture in James 1, 27. I looked it up. It says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Isn't that a beautiful outline? So simple that James put that. You know, we don't have to be the greatest orator or all of these things, pulpiteers, I think they call it, or whatever. But pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. Visit the fatherless. You know, an orphanage. I know a couple in our church that just, they have these two absolutely precious little boys, and they're seeking to adopt them. And we know of the church in Beebe, Arkansas, where one family, the pastor there, so children wouldn't be separated, they adopted three children that would, so that the children were siblings. So pure religion and undefiled before God. I love that. Visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. Nursing homes, places that where people, because of the busyness of the world, I've gone in before and had tremendous results. One time was helping a lady back to her room, pushing her wheelchair. And as we'd had a service, and we're pushing the wheelchair around the corner, and she's telling me about the Lord, her walk with God. And I just asked her, if she'd ever received the Holy Ghost, and she said, like she didn't know for sure what I was referring to. I said, have you ever spoken in tongues? And she said, oh, no, I've not done that. And I said, would you like to? And she said, yes. So we started praying. And I have never in my life heard the beauty of the tongues that that lady began to speak. Absolutely beautiful. And then it was about a month later that she passed away. And I met her family, just an awesome lady, tremendous background. And no one had, I mean, it was God's timing. It had to do with me, because if it did, I'd be going from room to room asking them. You know, but somebody's got to go and ask them. Pure religion. Yeah. Keep yourself unspotted. Go ahead.
You have to be obedient to do that. It isn't, I don't know, I don't think you give yourself enough credit. I mean, sometimes, you know, I just don't have, I don't know if it's gumption or lack of, I don't know, it's something. I'm so fearful. You know?
Right. You do awesome. What you do in the circle.
Obedient.
This radio program, how many people could do that? And you've done a wonderful job. We all do different things at different, in different ways at different times. You know, y'all have brought that up before. And like today, I certainly didn't plan any of the things that happened to me today, but God turned it in to something that I feel like was for the kingdom of God. This last part of the scripture, what do you think, Sister Star? What do you think when the Lord says for us to keep ourselves unspotted from the world? What do you think that means?
Unaffected and separate. We should have discernment on things that, you know, we should not allow into our lives.
That's good. I wish if anybody's listening and you want to share something about that, because I'm gonna do me a little story, a little PowerPoint on that, on being unspotted. Because it sounds almost too simple, but when you think about it, you know, here you are, maybe you're getting ready to go to a meeting, and you've got, maybe you've bought a new outfit, and you're going out the door, and you've, you know, really feeling really good about your clothes, and then all of a sudden you rub up against something on the porch, and you look down, and there's a big ugly spot. So God's using these illustrations to let us know that the world can do that to us. It can take our garment, and it puts spots and blemishes, and you know, it says keep yourself unspotted from the world, without spot or blemish. So these things we would avoid. If I knew that where I got the big spot on my outfit, then I would avoid that place. I wouldn't go to that part of the porch again, or you know. So it's part of being in agreement, and I think that's what Jabez was doing. That's what y'all were doing when you were witnessing to your neighbor. You were being in agreement with what the Spirit of God was doing, but without, you were just, because you were not laying out all night drunk. You know, you were there going to the house of God. You were, you know, see what I mean? We're in a path and a purpose, and then that, if we're on the right road and path and purpose, we will touch that life that God's directing us to. You might not go to a nursing home, but then you do the radio broadcast, and you do other things that are in, and you win your next door neighbor. I think that's awesome. That's wonderful. These are wonderful scriptures. Anybody wants to? That was James 1:27. We are a blessing to those that are weak. Galatians 6:2. 1 Corinthians 8:13. And we are a blessing to all mankind. Galatians 6:10. I may, if I can, send this to y'all. You may want to use it sometime. The whole thing
is the scripture. What was the scripture for the prayer of Jabez?
It's 1 Corinthians. Yes, it was I closed it up. It was 1 Corinthians 4, I believe. Let me look it up and see. 1 Chronicles, I mean, not Corinthians. Both starts with a C. 1 Chronicles 4, 4th chapter, verses 9 and 10.
That's a good one to have to remember.
I have it's a paraphrase. It's on a little plaque, and I have it by my kitchen sink. And I read that. I like to have scriptures and that I can just see right there that just sort of invade my own thoughts when maybe they're negative or I'm oppressed. There is an oppression that comes from, just talk about being unspotted. The place where I work, they have a television, and we didn't have a television for, I guess, 30 years, seemed like. And it's so oppressive, the news. And
yeah,
everything you hear, is just, it oppresses you. It's startling. I don't know why anybody, it's certainly not entertainment. To the person. It is.
I used to really enjoy listening to the news, but I don't listen to it anymore. It is, for one thing, you don't know what's true and what isn't. And that they are just, they try to invoke fear in everything. They just want us to be fearful of everything. And we just have to trust in the Almighty God. That, I mean, He is our salvation.
He is. He's our protection. This was how this was brought into this lesson. And Jabez, well, that's what he was saying. You know, Lord, protect me. And I'm depending on you to do it. And the world, he's the same God. but Jabez had to pray the prayer. And if those, us tonight, those that are listening, those that will listen in the archives, pray. Talk to God. It's the greatest privilege ever. I have an iPhone, and most of the time I can get it to work, but there is a percentage of time that I can't. I have a whole lot of problems I've been working on this week trying to get all of the Apple and all of that to get it to balance out, and it's still not fixed. And it usually by the time you get to the place to start that it's going to be fixed, you're going to be spending money. You know, so it's
yes.
going to be some type of confusion. But when you go to God in prayer, when you humbly, as Jabez, go to him in prayer, recognizing who he is, giving him glory and honor, and submitting, if we submit our way to him, it's already paid for. Jesus paid so that we could go into perfect fellowship with God. He just asked us to do our part, keep ourselves unspotted, and care for those that are in need. This is good. I enjoyed the program tonight very much.
Oh, me too. Me too. I don't know. I think some things just work out the way they're supposed to. I just hate it that while Bill spent so much time, he sure keeps me on my toes in prayer, you know, when he doesn't get enough sleep. I just prayed that God would protect him, and if he was going to have to go to work, that he would have supernatural strength and energy.
That would be a good request for everybody to remember him in prayer. He's recuperating from his injury, and that would be excellent if everybody would join and put a wonderful prayer covering over his life, his protection. That's he can pray
yeah.
Jabez's prayer too. That would be good. In fact, he has in the past shared that with me, and we've discussed it and really, really enjoyed it. I think that, too, Sister Starla, you are a wonderful helpmate to be there for him and to think of him and do your part as a helpmate. That's the greatest blessing that Wild Bill could have, for you to do the broadcast. And I wish y'all could do a YouTube show. I don't even know what I'm talking about or how to do that, but I think it would be good. Somebody said they was going to put Granny Rapper on YouTube, but they never did.
Oh, Granny Rapper is awesome. And such a blessing to me. Man, I could not do this without you. I mean, that's a fact.
It's the Lord, and we're going to get Jorbell. I've talked to her a couple of times, and she's on a schedule right now that when she begins to listen to it, then part of the way she goes to sleep. And said she woke up the other night, and the little monitor voice that says your program is over or something like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she had listened to it. And it's really easy to do when you're in there's not other, well, it's not for me because I'm running my mouth all the time. And I think you had mentioned it, I don't remember how long ago, but if not, anyway, it's a good idea. If people would send their prayer requests in to however you have it set up, I don't have Facebook, I don't have anything like that. But
We have a website, a link on the Blog Talk Radio Show. If you go to the website, I think there's a link there and a website. Oh, we have Wild Bill with us. I think he's going to give us some info.
Muscle relaxers. And, I mean, they showed I had soft tissue injuries about the size of a darn basketball in the middle of my back.
So, man, my back got killed.
Wild Bill.
Yeah, 4 days of it, I was dying. Yeah, have a good one.
Well, he's they're one, so I thought that, anyway.
Well, now we know, don't we? I was trying to put that in the middle of everything, but and we do know that he has to drive a big old truck and have a back injury would be very difficult.
You keep it going for a minute. I'm going to try to get a hold of Wild Bill and see if he's wanting to say something.
Okay, you want me to read this? Part of his prayer, being a petition, it didn't take page after page after page. And I thought that was interesting because sometimes we think we're going to be, as the Bible says, heard for our much speaking. It's not that. It's not that God doesn't know how. It's that we come to the realization of that he is our source. And that we're willing to fulfill our part of the covenant, which in the New Testament is to turn, to repent, which means to turn from our own way. We all have our own direction, but to repent, to turn and go God's way, and to recognize we can't do that without his help. So when we turn to him, we repent, then his instruction is for us to be baptized in water. This was illustrated all the way through the washing. They had to wash. The priest had to wash. The sacrifice was washed. Everything was washed. And so when we go down into our watery grave, we repent. We die out. We're baptized. Means we're buried with him in baptism, which is the circumcision of our heart. And then we are filled with the glorious power of his Spirit, and it comes and indwells within us, so that there's our cleansing, our protection, and our empowerment, because he said in the book of Acts, you shall receive power when you are filled with his Spirit. Just reading Acts, the first and second chapters are the perfect outline for the New Testament church, and then all of the rest. The Old Testament is the schoolmaster leading us to that day, and then all of the writings of church to help us, enable us to keep ourselves unspotted from religion, which is man-made, and from the world, which is designed to pull our mind, to pull our soul, and to pull our spirit away from what God's purpose is. He wants us to love him with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves. It's a beautiful pattern, and it works every time. God is daughter.
Amen.
Did you get through to Wild Bill?
Yeah, he wasn't wanting to be on the air. I don't know how he managed to push one, but anyway, he had just gotten to work and doing his paperwork and stuff.
I watched him one time several years ago when he came by to visit with Mom, and he was driving a different route, and it's extremely difficult. I don't think people realize how much there is to loading, unloading, and all the things you have to do. Truck driver works very, very hard.
Yes, especially those that drive at night. I don't know
right.
How. I could not do that.
I used to prefer to drive at night, but the old lady can't do anymore.
All night long. I mean, till, he usually starts driving about, he's got to get to work, but he usually gets on the road about 9:30 or 10, and then he doesn't get to where he's going until between 6 o'clock in the morning and noon. I could not do that.
So I was sharing with the gentleman that I work for, that My dad, my father, was a truck driver. Richie's a truck driver. Wild Bill was a truck driver. And it's, I guess things like that just sort of become a pattern from generation to generation.
Mhm. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. And once you get in it, you can't seem to get out of it. If you want to do something else, it's hard to get out of that industry. You know, if you're interested in doing something else, it just, I don't know, it kind of sucks you back in. I don't
right.
know.
That's very interesting, Sister Starla, because that, again, going back to Jabez, he was, because of whatever sorrow was, got him started in life, there is that point that no matter what we do, we have to get a hold of God to get it to break that direction. It's, I don't believe you
yes.
can do it. And I was speaking to a very talented individual this week, and the Lord has shared with me early in the day, that day, in my devotion, that, and while Bill has alluded to the gifts that we have, when God gives us a gift, if we get our eyes on the gift instead of the giver of the gift, if you just look at the gift, it is a spiral downward. That doesn't mean you don't apply the gift and use the gift and perfect the gift, but if the gift is your focus, and we see that in the world, we see people start out, and back to Keith Green, he would not, when he came to Jesus Christ, when he became the mighty man of God that he was, I don't think he ever charged for any time that he would do a concert, any of his music. He had other methods of, I don't know, donations, whatever. And he immediately began to do all of these things that we've been talking about tonight. I saw, if a person wants to see his life, YouTube has several, I think 10 different, I don't know how long they are, segments, though, about his life. And they are very interesting. Some people are turned off because he had a beard and a lot of woolly hair. I just see him as that lamb. There's nothing
mm-hmm.
about him, you know. It's very, very interesting. Also, were you about to say something?
No.
There was something here on the ending of the article about Jabez's prayer, and that we will really get it in our mind that God granted him. There was no rebuke. He didn't, you know, pray for 20 years. I mean, he prayed the prayer. There was no rebuke. And in Psalms 84 and 11, it goes along with the idea that we ask God. You know, ask, we'll receive. Seek, we'll find. Knock, it'll be opened. But that doesn't mean that it's got to be in accordance with the will of God. Not asking amiss that we can consume it on our own lust. But anyway, it said in Psalms 84:11, for the Lord is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Isn't that beautiful?
Amen. It is.
He is our sun, our shield, and he gives grace. As Wabiel was talking about it, grace. We think of, you know, I'm saved by grace, but grace, the unmerited power and favor of God to take the hard times and the sorrow and the brokenness and be able to walk in it. But the disappointment, the disillusionment, the just shattered, you know, sometimes you just feel shattered. And God is there, you know, here, I'll give you grace. I'll give you what you have to be able to stand this. And I'll let it turn into pure gold. Oh, praise be unto his wonderful name. He'll give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Oh, that's beautiful.
Amen. And he is merciful, merciful.
Amen. Aren't we glad? Thank you, Lord. Over and over as I'm reading this, the Kings, and his mercy endures forever. And his mercy endures forever. They had all been through, obviously, extremely struggling times and found out that his mercy was always there. Someone had shared with me the title of a book today, and they said it was remarkably, I haven't read it, but it's called The Tracks of a Struggling Man. I believe that's it. The Tracks, T-R-A-C-K-S, of a Struggling Man. And if anybody's looking for a book to read, they may want to read that. I plan to order it this week. It makes me think of the poem. Go ahead.
You know who it's by?
He didn't tell me, but I'll try to have it for the next program and have more detail about it. It was recommended to him. He's a Bible teacher. And one of the people in his class said it is just life-changing.
Wow.
He had ordered,
I like
Amazon. That. Yeah, I do too. I like something that we can all relate to, don't you?
Yes. Well, Blog Talk Mom, we're fixing to be out of time. Do you have anything you want to say in closing, maybe a prayer?
Well, I have enjoyed it very much. I do believe that someone listening, and I know I needed to go back through these scriptures before I close out this day. It was extremely warm and wonderful to hear y'all, hear your voices and hear you magnify the Lord and share the testimony about the couple. That was wonderful. Their children were spared. That was a beautiful testimony. So thank you very much, and I will see you next week, the Lord willing.
Well, if you all have any questions or comments, you can click on the link on the Blog Talk Radio page, and we'll see you next week at your place. Good night, and God bless.